Father, by your mercies, we are here. And we say, Lord, we appreciate and thank you for what you did on the cross for us. And we say today, Father, Lord, that we want to also express our love for you in how we serve you, Father, Lord. And we say, Father, Lord, we know that you are our majesty. We know that you are our God. We know that you are our King. We know that you are our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Father, Lord, as I deliver this word, I pray that you would anoint my lips, that your word will not come back void. Father, Lord, I pray that your anointing will rest upon me, that your word will bring healing, it will bring deliverance, it will bring exaltation, it will bring comfort to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of us are excited to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. If you can all be seated, this is Genesis CLF, a church that believes in what? Somebody say God, that's true. A church that believes in, sorry? You forgot it. Abundant life. Hey, what is our values? It's a fruitful church, yes? What else? Spirit of excellence, okay. Faith. Okay, all is coming. Keep bringing it. What else? Loving God. Yes. Continue. Raising fruitful disciples. And advancing the kingdom. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that I saw you today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the principles of spiritual growth. Amen. And I'm going to do a series on this, and it's so important that We make notes, because there is nothing more important that a believer grows in his faith. Amen? And the subtitle today is grow spiritually is a choice. Say to the person next to you, growing spiritually is a choice. You know, so just the same way as you make a choice to dress or to do anything, it's a choice to grow spiritually. Amen? You know, nothing in the Christendom is automatic. Nothing is automatic. Amen? In a Christendom. We still have what? Choice. God has given us what? A choice how we serve Him. Isn't it? God has given us a choice of free will so that we can choose how we grow in the Lord. So you can choose to be a Christian. Okay? You know, some people believe that just becoming a Christian is enough. But there is more than just becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian or saving faith when you get your salvation is just the beginning of a long journey. But you must decide how you want to grow in the Lord. Amen? You can decide whether you want to be a Christian that is wishy-washy, or you want to be a Christian that want to make a change or want to make a difference in society. Amen? You want to decide whether you want to be a Christian that God is going to be pleased with. Amen? It's a choice. You make that choice right from the beginning. You know, it's very important as Christians that when we become saved, we what? Count the what? The cost. You count the cost and say, Father, I am here today. But I don't want to be a Christian that just comes and warms seats or just have a title. But I want to fulfill your mandate for my life. Amen? And I really believe that the people of this church are people that are purposeful. Amen? And they live by purpose and vision. Like my brother was saying today. That was excellent anyway, Brother Temi. That is excellent. But it's very important as Christians to have a vision of what you want to be like. I remember when I was a new Christian, I had a vision that I want to be like God. I said, I want to be like God. Amen. I want to be what? Like, be like Jesus. So when I came to church and I saw people in the church, I had this, as a new Christian, I had this judgmental attitude that I don't want to be like that individual. I don't want to be that. I was young, but it was still a good vision to have. I want to be a faithful Christian. I wanted to love God with all my heart and my mind and my soul. So when I came to the Lord, I said, I don't want to be like this guy. Oh, he's been here about 20 years. My goodness, 20 years. Oh, my God. 30 years, 40 years. I don't want to be like that. In 40 years' time, I know what I wanted to be like. You know what? In the world, people have a goal. You know, I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 40. I wanted to get married before I was 40. That one happened. But the millions hasn't come yet. But it's on the way. I'm still playing it forth. Amen? Amen? Because I want to be fruitful. And I believe that God, that is my vision. That's a vision that God is going to fulfill. As long as I remain what? Faithful in his kingdom, he also will be faithful to me. The Bible says that draw near to me and I will draw near to you. There is a principle. You know, for the principle of growth to kick in, you must make a choice. And whatever choice you make is where what? That principle will kick in. So there's these two principles. I want you to turn to this one actually. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's two things here. If you choose, okay, to be a dedicated Christian, a committed Christian, a Christian that is fruitful, amen? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Do you know that the works that we do today as Christians will be counted to us in heaven? Everything that we are doing for God now is not in vain. Amen? Nothing that we do for God is in vain. Our eternity starts now. Say to somebody, my eternity starts now. Amen? So your eternity starts now, even though, yes, we are in trial and we have to make it. We have to work on our salvation with fear and trouble. We have to make it. Amen? But our eternity starts now. Because if something happens to you today, you know that as a believer, you're going to heaven. And you're going to what? Give an account to God. Amen? Can somebody say amen? Amen. So we all know that God has given us the gift, the grace to grow in him. And God expects us as believers to grow. You know, how many of us would give birth to a child and not expect it to grow? Amen? You see a baby, it starts walking, and then what? It grows. Naturally speaking, you know, we see that growth in certain aspect of life is it does happen. A child will grow. If you leave the child will grow. As long as you feed a child, that child what? Will naturally grow. But the things of the spirit doesn't work like that. When you become a Christian, it's not automatic that you grow. The title doesn't make you grow. You accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and personal Savior doesn't make you grow. What makes you grow is the choice that you make on a daily basis to serve him. Amen. The choices, the disciplines that you put on yourself is works. Amen? That is how you grow. And we are going to be talking about different things that, as we go on this series, I'm going to be talking about crisis growth and different type of growth that we're going to be talking about. But now I just want to highlight that it's a choice how you grow in the Lord. So you cannot blame anybody for your spiritual development. Some people blame their church. Some blame the pastor. Some blame their cell leaders. You can't blame anybody because it's your responsibility. Look, can you blame somebody for being fat? Can you blame the government for being fat? Can you blame McDonald's for being fat? Yes, you can try and blame them. But if you keep blaming them, you'll be fat still, won't you? But you have a choice what you put in your body. Isn't that true? Am I lying? I'm not saying anybody's fat, though. Please. I'm just using that as an example. Amen? So if you keep eating banku, if you keep eating, like okra soup, like my brother, he loves it. I love you as well. I love you as well. You know? Amen? If you keep eating things that are not healthy for you, you will grow funny. Amen? So as believers, we have a responsibility in how we take the word. Even now, as a students of the kingdom, we need to what? As disciples of Jesus, we need to what? Learn how to be good disciples of Jesus. How we are dedicated and committed and disciplined. Discipleship means what? Discipline once. You know, how you are disciplined, you wake up in the morning, you pray. Amen. You give thanks to God. How you live your life, how you apply the word on your life, in your life, will determine how you what? Spiritually grow. Amen. So like I said to you, nobody grows by default spiritually. Yes, in the natural, you will grow if you eat. Of course you'll grow. But in the spirit, you will never, never, never grow unless you do something about it. Unless you put disciplines in your life, you listen to the word. Unless you take the word. And look, let me tell you what. Even listening to the word is not good enough. Praying on a daily basis is not good enough. What actually makes you grow is what? Is you, is the application of the word. Amen? So for example, one has to grow in certain areas of our emotions, has to grow. Amen? So you can be a Christian, and you're saying, I'm a Christian, and come to church every Sunday, listen to the word, and you are not deliberately working on your what? On your emotions. What's going to happen? If you have a bad temper, what's going to happen? It will still be the same, or it might be worse. That bad temper is not going to go anywhere until you decide to work your salvation with fear and trembling. Until you decide to put that under subjection of the word of God. Amen? And then, because the Bible says that what? Anger what? Rests in the bosom of what? Fools. So if you read this scripture, I say, oh God, give me patience. I remember before I was getting ready to get married, I realized that I said to God, you know when you're preparing to get married, you know, you're preparing to get married and you know, you want to have your wife and you want to, you know, I've got this vision. I had a powerful vision about what I want my marriage to be like. And that vision, a lot of it has come to pass. I said, I want to be a what? A patient husband. Because I realized that when I was back in the days, you know, one of the things, I don't like foolishness. You know, I don't like, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, I'll tell you as it is, and all that kind of mindset. Amen? But then I realized that I can't take that into what? Into marriage. Because there was certain relationships that I was in that exposed that side of me. Exposed it. You know? And I remember when that particular relationship finished before I met my wife, you know, I asked this lady, I said, what do you think I need to do to improve? And she gave me a whole heap of list. Long list. You did that. You do this. You did this. You did this. And what? A foolish person would just argue with them. I said, thank you for telling me this thing. And I'm still doing that with my wife. I said, my wife, tell me when I'm going wrong. Correct me. Tell me. Because I want to be like Christ. You know, so we must what? Walk in what? In submit. You know, some men think that by submitting, by asking your wife to submit to you, that is the only thing. You must submit to one another in the Lord. Amen? So you must also submit your foolishness to God. And God will use your wife to what? To bring it up to the surface. And you have to humble yourself when you are wrong to say, I am sorry. And that is how that character is going to build in you. And that's how you will grow in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So, like, for example, if you have a problem of alcohol, you used to drink a lot. Ben, I believe that you're going to go out there in the world and you're going to draw many people and you're going to deliver them because you've been delivered from alcoholism. Amen? Because so now you're saying that, you know, the old things have passed away and everything else has become new. So now that you've gone through the experience, you're asking God to help you with this issue. Okay, you're saying to God, I don't want to be like this. I want to be like you. You're not an alcoholic. The Bible says that my body is a temple of the living God. So therefore, as of now, I'm not only going to stop drinking, but I'm going to get out into the world and get other people to stop drinking. Amen? I'm going to be a redeemer. I'm going to be a deliverer of many people. And that is how spiritual growth happens. It doesn't happen by people think that by having titles, or I'm a minister of that, I'm a minister, doctor, what? That's what spiritual growth is all about. Because you're now a cell leader. That is just the buy. That is not even a tip of the iceberg. It's true that, yes, you're growing the Lord and you're taking responsibilities. Yes, that is important. But in the area of character, we must all what? Develop in our emotions. When you are tested by a cell member, how are you going to approach them? Amen? How are you going to deal with them? You can have some people that spit on your face. They tell you, I don't like you, man. I don't want to hear what you're chatting about. And they'll spit on your face. What do you do? Do you still bless them or do you curse them? Amen? That is character. Developing your character in Christ. And that is how you will grow in the Lord. Because pressures will be put. God will bring people that would always upset you. You go and meet that person at your workplace. Amen. You meet that same person as a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That same spirit will be chasing whatever you are until you submit to God. I said, God, change me in this area. Amen. You don't want to be like that woman. What's her name? Married about 10 times or 20 times. Amen. Because they refuse to change. Amen. Because they refuse to build a particular character in them, they kept thinking that everybody else is wrong. Every man, oh, there are no good men. Who said there are no good men? I believe that in this church, there are many good men in this church. Amen. And there are also many good, excellent women in this church. You know, I came to realize when I was going to get married, the Lord said to me, I said to the Lord, God, I want your will. I want your will. I want your will. The Lord said to me, Andre, just pick one and I'll bless it. Meanwhile, that means that God knew that I have the wisdom to choose the right woman. Amen. He had confidence in me. He said, choose one and I will what? Bless it. And I believe the Lord has blessed my wife. Amen. In my relationship. Amen. And I really want to encourage us for us to pray to God in the areas where we are weak. And there is this saying that, you know, it's a strategic thing that if you have a weakness, you get somebody who is stronger than you to do that. It's true. And then even in the marriage situation, if you can't cook, you do the washing, let the wife do this. It's true. But it's not the best. Amen? What if your wife is not there anymore? Who's going to cook for you? What if something happens to her? Or your husband, vice versa? You must learn how to cook. Amen? You must learn how to wash, whether the man or the woman. Amen? You must learn to develop the skill. Look, all it is, for me, I don't know how to cook, so I'll never learn how to cook. No, it's an excuse. It's an excuse. Amen? Oh, for me, I can't read, so I can't. I don't want to be a minister. But God has called you to be a minister. You know, Moses had what? An excuse. He said, well, he's Thomas. So because of that, he couldn't go and deliver the people. But he's a deliverer. God said, you're a deliverer. Amen. So we can stop all these excuses and try and say, oh, I'm not an evangelist. That's another one. I'm not a prayer warrior. Who said it? The Bible says that we should go into all nations and make disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has called every believer, not just evangelists. I don't believe in that theology. Amen? I believe we are all evangelists. We are all prayer warriors in Christ Jesus. Not just, there are mature Christians. It shouldn't be that thing, oh, mature and not mature. Everybody must be mature in the things of the Lord. Amen? There must be some sort of growth in you. You know, if by the age of 14 or 15 or 16, your mom is still, or your dad is still bathing you, isn't that a problem? Huh? That's a big problem, isn't it? You know, you wake you up and then take you to the bathroom and bath you at the age of 16. I've seen one before. After one guy, he told me that, I don't know how to use the washing machine. A man with beard. I said, how come you live in your house? You haven't developed the skill of using the washing machine in your house. How come your mom can cook lovely jerk chicken and you can't even, you don't know how to turn the oven? Amen? You must learn to develop the skill. Look, everybody I meet, I learn a skill. When I know they are good at something, I'm going to go near them and learn. I choose my mentors based on the areas of weaknesses in me, not strength. Not like with like. In the areas of strength, I don't really want anybody to. I go for the people who help me in the areas I'm weak in. You know, I know this guy is good with people. I say, hey, brother, come. Or, can you mentor me? And I used to choose certain people. I remember choosing Roger to mentor me. And how to deal with people. And that helped me tremendously. That helped me to grow my cell when I was leading a cell. And the cell exploded because he had that gift. He put that gift in me. And now it's like, it's there. And I'm nurturing it still. Amen? To be like Tammy. Amen? Yeah. You've got it, brother. It's true. You know? To be like, you know, to develop the skill of people. People skills. So you learn it, you be around people who have got that people skill, and you develop the skill, and then you become stronger. I'm not saying you're going to become like absolutely perfect, but you become better than you were before. And that is called growth. Amen? And there's one thing about spiritual growth. This, you know, the same way in the natural, we develop skills to grow. For example, as we eat, naturally we grow. It's the same way spiritually, we must be attentive to how we develop in the things of the Spirit. Amen? We must be deliberate. We must focus. Because if you don't develop yourself in the Word, if you don't read it, wake up in the morning and read the Word, you're not going to grow. It's as simple as that. You know, sometimes, you know, I would make this mistake and just pray more than the Word. And then sometimes I still come out a bit empty. But I realize that, no, I need to do both. You can't just always pray. Have you seen people like that? You pray, then when you're about to speak, or the old man is speaking. Amen? Because the Word is not in you to come out. Amen? The Bible says the word faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you feed the Word, you grow. As you pray, you grow. So you need that. You know, even our natural body tells us that if you keep eating ackee and saltfish every... How many of us eat ackee and saltfish every single day? 7 days a week. Auntie, do you? You don't. So spiritually, we have to have what a balanced diet. Say to the person, you must have a balanced diet. So after you've had this balanced diet and you go and sleep, you eat and you sleep, what's going to happen? You're going to become fat, isn't it? Because you're not exercising that food that you have taken inside. So, spiritually speaking, after you've taken the Word, now this is the thing that, excuse me, Christians, the mistake we do is that you think by staying at home and reading the Word and praying always, that's going to make you grow as well. Ain't going to make you grow, brother. What is going to make you grow is you going to somebody and telling them about Jesus, laying hands and healing them. That is what is going to give you what? The yada. Knowing God in experiential way. That's how you know God. That's how you know God. You know God. How God works. Amen. Because you are putting what you have learned into practice. Amen. Say to the person that you must put what you are learning into practice. Say to the person that you must be a practical Christian. And also spiritual. Amen. When some people say you must be a practical Christian, sometimes it can also go the other way around. Amen. Where they go and they do good all over the place, doing good, but they don't pray. That is also what? Yeah. You know, because God is spirit. Bible says that we must worship Him what? In spirit and what? In truth. So we must what? Have the spiritual and as well as what? Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. There's always two. There's always negative and positive, male and female. Amen? You know, you see, God will always do His bit, but we must also do our bit. And the grace of God only works. Some people see the grace of God is automatic. Look, grace of God is activated through works. Activated through works. As you apply the Word in your life, that is when the grace of God comes. That is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, there's an evidence, of things, what? Not seen. You are actually putting your faith into practice. That's when God meets you. God doesn't meet you when you are sleeping all day and you don't pray. God don't meet you there. He will just warn you. Amen? But if you want to know God, you must practically serve Him. You must say, Father, Lord, who have you got in Enfield for me? How many souls in Enfield for just me alone? And then God tells you. And then you come and tell the pastor. And the pastor said, Lord, it's too cold. You say, no. It's not too cold, pastor. You just leave the pastor. Father, God, you haven't spoken to the pastor. You've spoken to me. And then you go and you bring souls to church. Amen? Who are you serving, the pastor or God? You're serving God. So is the revelation that you have from God is what you're applying? Is the application of your closet lifestyle, amen, You know, where you're praying, God is telling you things and you're going and you're applying it. It's not what the church is doing. It's not the activity, so to speak. Because some people think that, look, sometimes I don't even go by the activity, like Auntie Gladys. That's why I like Auntie Gladys so much. Because whether God tells her or not, she'll go and what? Evangelize. It's true what the Lord is speaking to her. She goes and she prays and God tells her, I want you to go to Enfield to do something. And she just obeys and goes and does it. That is somebody who will grow in the Lord. Say to the person that said, don't be a Jonah. Amen? Because some people are living that lifestyle, so they're going around in circles. That's how some believers are going around in circles. I haven't even touched my nose here. Amen? Some believers are going around in circles because you're like a Jonah. God tells you something and he wants more. And then at some time, these prophetic meetings just come out nice as well. The prophet comes. He tells you, hey, thou shalt be this, thou shalt be this. And then you are waiting. You haven't even fulfilled that. You haven't even prayed. You are waiting for another word from the Lord. I said to myself, these people, what's wrong? Amen? We must be practical Christians. God has, for me, I don't even want, sometimes I say to myself, God, don't even give me a prophetic word. What you've told me is enough for me to handle. Amen? You know, you've already said, go into all nations and make disciples of men. That's good enough. Huh? That alone is crazy, tell me. That alone, I don't want to wait to say, oh, that I'm going to be. Yes, it's good. Prophetic word is good for direction, exhortation, and comfort. I know that. But I'm trying to be practical here. Amen? What I'm trying to say is that some people get a word upon the word upon the word upon the word upon the word. And they become fat Christians. They stop growing. They become unhealthy. They become even cancer in the what? In the body. Amen? Because they have so much knowledge. But then they don't have the wisdom to apply because they don't have the what? The experience. So the knowledge becomes what? Fights against them. They'll start to tell you, Pastor this, Pastor that. After the pastor finished praying, they'll come to the pastor and say, what is that doctrine? What did you say? Because they know the word maybe more than the pastor. You know, a lot of congregation people know the word more than the pastor. It's true. They know it. But they don't have the wisdom to apply it. Amen? In their own lives. Amen? I think somebody's knocking the door. In their own lives, and even for them to become fruitful disciples of Jesus. As believers, we must grow to a stage where we also have followers. Say to the person, you must have followers. One of the ways that you will know that you are growing is that there isn't barrenness in your faith. There isn't dryness. There is always fruitfulness about you. Amen? You grow and then you pick somebody, you start to disciple them, like what the video was saying today. You start to disciple some people, amen? And they look up to you because what? You're becoming, look, how many of us? I know some people still get married and live at home and all that, but there must be some kind of what? Development about you. When you grow, you get married, you start to what? Have children, you start to raise them, you become a father, isn't it? That's a natural. The same thing in the spiritual, we must also what? Have children. Otherwise, you are barren Christian. You don't have children. In fact, you're probably still a child. Amen? And that is not what we want to become. And that is why in this church, we got so many, Bible schools and different things that we've got here. Like the MDP, we've got an MDP, we've got new converts class, amen? I used to remember chasing some people just to go to the new converts class. And they wouldn't even go. And today they are not in the faith. Because their foundation, what, is not strong. They didn't go to develop. So when a storm came, it wasn't even a storm, it was a wind. It took them away. It wasn't a storm. I know, some people, it's not a storm. Some people, they create their own storm by just spinning around. Amen. I'm going to be talking about that in some series about mind the gap. Amen. So there are gaps in their Christianity. There's so many gaps because they haven't even dealt with the old man yet. The old man is still alive in them. So you see they have the title, but they still behave like somebody who is a non-Christian. How? Why? Because the old man is still alive because we are not exercising in the things of the Spirit. We are not asking God or even submitting to authority for somebody to help us to grow. Same man as me. Amen. I really believe that as Christians, we need to be like athletes. It's very, very important that as Christians, we need to be what? An athlete is very deliberate. They know that what the Olympics is going to be 4 years time, isn't it? So between now and the 4 years, they are deliberate about what they eat. Amen. So some of us, we've got a prophetic word. Some of you are going to be pastors. Some of you are going to be lawyers, doctors. Some of you are going to be great musicians or singers, whatever, or worship leaders. So from now to that time, what do you do? An athlete will what? Will discipline themselves how they eat. They will train, isn't it? You athletes here. They will train. Some of them train daily. Amen. You know, if you're going to be a musician, you sit there 7 hours. You know, some people, they train 7 hours just on a keyboard. So they develop themselves for that occasion. You know, even some of us, you know you're going to get married. Prepare yourself because the opposite sex is different. Men are different. Women are different. When you get in there, you find out that it's a different radar. They're talking Spanish. The other one is talking, Greek. Amen. It's a different thing altogether. So you must prepare yourself. The Bible says for us men, we must what? Dwell with women with understanding. And I'm realizing that that understanding thing is very deep. I'm still trying to understand, my brother. Because you have to deliberately say, Father, help me to dwell with her with understanding. And as you're developing, as you're doing that, you will grow. When the situation comes, you will know how to deal with it. Because you're growing in wisdom and understanding. Amen? You exercise yourself in the practical as well as reading books and reading the word and applying the word. So, brothers and sisters, I'm here to encourage you, you know, to prepare yourself. You know, let this Christian faith not just be a thing that you come to God on a Sunday and then from Monday to Saturday, it's normal. Sunday, I worship God. No, a Christian must live daily. You must worship God on a daily basis. You know, who is the church? Sunday. Sunday school. Or the building. The church is ours. We must be the light of this world. We must take the word wherever we are. We must be what? Example. When people are doing and smoking, you are not. Amen? When people are using words, profane words, you are not. Amen. I remember when I got saved, there are certain things that God automatically took from me. Because I just remember when I'm driving and you cut me, I'm going to chase you and tell you what I think. Amen. Sticking fingers and doing all those things, I've done them until I got saved. And then I remember this person cut me and I was about to raise my hand and I got stuck in the air. Literally, my hand got stuck. I couldn't. Because God, something has been delivered inside of me. Road range has been delivered inside of me. Amen? Amen? Amen. But I still have to make sure that what? I maintain it because people are still cutting me. And sometimes I'll be worshiping in the car and then people will still try to cut me. And I'm like, this is my desire. Amen? I still must what? Exercise my faith. Because the old man, even though he was killed, he's still there. That's what they call saving faith. You see, your spirit is saved, but your soul is still in the process. That's what the Bible says, that we must what? Renew our what? Our mind on a daily basis with the word of God. Amen. So, for you younger ones, you must hang around good people. Amen. When I was a young Christian, yes, I had some good people around me. But when you get good people, you must stick to them. Listen to what they tell you. When you're cell leaders, listen to what they tell you. Amen? Allow them to disciple you. They might tell you things you don't want to hear. Look, it's only people who tell you things you don't want to hear sometimes. You know that? You know the mom and dad. Mom always tells us what we don't want to hear, doesn't it? My mom always tells me what I don't want to hear. She always does. But she means it what? For my own good. So we must allow ourselves to be discipled so we will grow in Christ's likeness. Amen. Is somebody blessed? I want us to stand. We're going to pray. I mean, we all know areas in our life that we want to grow in. And I don't want you to... It's wisdom to pray. As I was praying today, I believe that God is going to deliver people, some people from oppression. I sense the spirit of oppression. You know, you're going to be delivered from that heaviness on your life. Amen. You know, I believe that God is going to do that today. But I also believe that there are areas in our lives that we need to develop. Amen. That God speaks to us on a daily basis. Areas that we feel guilty about. Areas that we even don't want to tell anyone. Do you know God can deliver you? Amen. You must put it on the altar. So most, don't come and tell me anything, but put it on the altar and say, hey, God, these are the issues in my life. I want you to help me. And even choose a mentor to help you. Choose somebody that you think can help you because you're struggling in that area. You know, and if you don't have anybody to help you, just say, God, I need help in this. I want you to deliver me from this thing. And as from today on, I'm going to take the practical steps. Let me tell you one thing about self-deliverance. Self-deliverance, when you apply the word of God on your life and you take the scriptures and apply into that particular area, that hole in your life on daily basis, God will meet you halfway. Amen? Some people want the pastor to lay their hands and everything goes away. But the best deliverance is self-deliverance. Like what Ben did. Amen? He wanted to get out of it. He wanted to get out of it and then he would drink again. He wanted to drink, get out of it and he drinks again. He get up and he's still fighting it. Ben, aren't you still fighting it? I know, you know. I know you're still fighting it. You sure? I know. It's been... Amen. He's very honest. That's why I love him. Amen. And I believe that God wants to deliver us totally from our old ways. And even some of us, we don't have all these issues. But we have difficulties in growing the things of the Lord. We are like a still water. We're not like a river flowing. And God wants that river to start flowing. God wants that river to start flowing again. He said, yes, you yourself, you want it as well. But God is speaking to you now. He says, that river is going to start flowing. If you listen to my word, if you heed my word and what I'm telling you. So I want you to pray. I want you to pray and ask God to help you to grow in that area. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I want you to pray. Just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are submitting ourselves to you. Father, we are asking you to help us in our weaknesses. We are asking you to help us in areas where we are barren. We are asking you to help us in the areas where it seems like there are still waters. There is no flow, a free flow of the Spirit in our lives. Where we are become stagnant. We are not growing in the things of God. We keep going around in circles, Father Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord, as on today, as we have dedicated ourselves to you, and as we have committed ourselves, that as from today, we are no longer going to walk that way. And as we are making the decision to serve you, according to your word, we pray that, Father, you would also meet us halfway. Father, I pray that your spirit, you meet your people halfway now. In Jesus' name. Father, for those who have already started the journey, meet them now by the power of the Lamb in the name of Jesus. I pray the Lord that you will meet everyone when they have taken a step of faith in that area and want to behold and want to know you and love you more. Lord, I pray the Lord you will meet them. For those who want to have an encounter with you, Father Lord, meet them now in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit meet every single one of us. Lord, I pray where there is dryness, Father Lord, I pray the Lord there will be rivers of living waters in those areas now in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, that your people will start to hunger and thirst for righteousness again. There will be a burst of hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will hunger and thirst. Their desires will be for the kingdom again. Where there is dry patches, Lord, I pray that your spirit will rain. I see rain, yes, in that particular area. Yes, and you will thirst and hunger for righteousness again. For you'll be seeking it, but it seems as if it's dry. It's dry. Yes. God wants to elevate you to the next level. He wants to elevate you to the next level. Father, we thank you that you will bring direction, that you will bring focus, that you will bring direction in our spirits, that we will know who we are and where we are going, that our vision will become clear. That vision will become very clear in our lives, in the name of Jesus. That, Father, Lord, that you will put the desires in our hearts. That's how the Lord speaks to me, through desires. I pray that, Father, Lord, you will put desires in people's hearts, and then they will know that is the direction, that where you are sending them. God will speak to people differently. For some people, God will speak to you audibly. For some people, God will speak to you through your senses. For some people, he speaks to you through your desires. Yes, don't miss that desire. There is a desire that will be bursting, or that's been bursting. That's your direction. That desire, that thing that you want to do, and you can't help it, and nobody understands. It's a desire that God has put in you. That is the direction I want you to take, says the Spirit of the Living God. That's an answer for somebody. Father, Lord, we thank you that you are beginning to stir things up in our spirits, Lord. We thank you that you are beginning to give us direction. We thank you that your spirit is being lifted. I want to pray for anybody that feels heaviness or any form of oppression. If it's you, just come to the front. I'll pray for you. If you feel some kind of oppression, like heaviness, like depressed, like heaviness, I want you to come and I'll pray for you. I know one or two people here. Don't be shy. Just come to the front and I'll pray for you. Father, Lord, I thank you. And I pray against the spirit of heaviness. For you're saying that what? Your word says that your burden is light and your yoke is easy. Therefore, Lord, I rebuke any spirit of depression, any form of stress, any oppressive spirit. Father, Lord, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, your word says to whom the Son has set free, come and give a prayer. It's free indeed. In the name of Jesus, I pray against that spirit of heaviness now from this family in the name of Jesus. Yes, Father, Lord. Can somebody put something on that projector? It's like a card or something. It's going in my eyes. Father, Lord, I pray worries. Father, Lord, that she will not worry. Yes, that she will have faith in you. In the name of Jesus, God wants you to have faith in him. God wants you to have faith in him. God wants you to have faith in him. In any situation, all you need to do is just give it to the Lord. He wants you to have faith in him. Father, today, Lord, I pray against any oppression in their life, Lord. Yes, even though, Lord, the doors have been opened, Lord, today I pray for that revelation that those doors will be closed in the name of Jesus by the power of the Lamb. Lord, I pray and I pray against any form of oppression in the name of Jesus. I pray against any spirit of fear. I pray for courageous spirit, that she'll be courageous, she'll be bold and wild as an ox in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray against any form of oppression in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. So shall it be unto you. Yes, for you shall be free indeed. For yes, a new world shall be opened into your life. Yes, but in your heart, you want to do the right thing. In your heart, you want to be that model. Because people, even at this young age, look up to you. But the Spirit of God will come upon you. And he shall shepherd you for many others. He has already done that in the realms of the Spirit. My God, you shall use your daughter to be an example of many. She will be a great leader indeed. She will be an example of many. Father Lord, let your spirit rest upon her. I pray against any oppressive spirit on her life. I say she will not inherit this thing. Yes, it's not your portion. Yes, Lord, I pray that that spirit that runs in this family will not hunt her or her sister. In the name of Jesus, I say, Lord, I pray against any form of oppressive spirits. Let your spirit rest in her. Let the joy of the Lord be her strength. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you. For those who are going through addictions, I rebuke the spirit of addiction in the name of Jesus. I pray against any spirit of drugs in people's lives. I say, Lord, let your spirit drive those desires by the power of the Lamb in the name of Jesus. I replace it with the spirit of God over your life, Ben. And I pray that, Lord, you shall desire the things of the spirit. You shall desire the things of the spirit. You shall desire the things of the spirit. For you shall know the Lord and you shall do exploits. In the name of Jesus. For you shall know the Lord and you shall do exploits. Father, Lord, I pray that your grace will come upon him. And he will change to be another man. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Amen.
Excellent. If we can take our seats. What a wonderful word. Amen. It's about us growing in God and taking those steps to grow in God. And both Temi and Andrew talked about it. The first step is just writing down what God is saying. The next step is making that decision, and then it's taking the action. So really, please come prepared to these services and write down things that God impresses on your heart or things that come to your mind during the service. And then make a decision and take action. And that's good.
Remember to subscribe to our weekly podcast and also visit us at www.genesisclf.org.